The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello everyone, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode, is it 110, Don?
110.
I don't know.
Almost up to room 112 where the players dwell.
I better look out. Okay, so this is the WrestleCast, as I mentioned. I'm Samuel Colunga, and with me is Miss Didi Janae.
Hi, friends.
And of course, the Don of the WrestleCast, Mr. Don DeLaurentiis.
Hello, hello, hello.
So we're going to get started here. I don't really have any news this week. Do either one of y'all? Anything big happen? Anything popping?
Popping.
Carmella really received them hands from Nikki Bella. If y'all go to the WrestleCast Twitter handle, posted a picture from Carmella's Instagram where she was all whelped up with a black eye.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm beginning to think her and John really broke up. She just seems a little angry. Why,
did they break up on the...
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch the show. But she just seems a little angry lately. Maybe things aren't going right. Maybe Bree's pregnancy is bringing out bad feelings for the gal. I don't know. Or maybe I just watched too many soap operas. I don't know.
What was it that somebody said? Like, if Carmella really wanted to hurt Nikki, she would string her along for months without marrying her or something like that.
Yeah. It was mean. Oh, I have news. On that show that nobody watches,
SmackDown.
You tried it. Okay. You tried it. No. I'm talking about Dixie Carter's old work.
Okay.
The champ was our dude. He had a championship. I can't think of his name. They call him Aaron.
Sandow.
Yes, Damian Sandow. He was actually champion. And then he lost to Moose.
God.
So, yeah.
So that means that you watched Rosemary tonight?
Absolutely, I did not.
That's your TNA update for the month?
That's all I got for you. I don't know what that double woman did.
join us next month. We'll have some more news.
Mm-mm. Can't do it. I saw Matt and I saw Brother Nero and... I saw a 3-man tag match, and then I turned back to watching my 600-pound life. Couldn't do it.
So no creepy people for you.
But I mean, I can find out if you want to know, but you don't want to know. You don't care.
No one cares.
No one cares. Like, why pretend? If you care, at the WrestleCast, then we'll tell you, because you don't care.
I wonder if anybody likes TNA so much that they do a TNA-exclusive podcast.
Stop.
I'm going to find this and I'm going to...
You already know that didn't happen.
I'm going to ask them, like, why do they choose to waste their life this way?
Oh, look, I found it. Rosemary beat Jade. You're welcome. That's what happened.
Jade.
That's just, it's creepy. Why is she so creepy? I don't like it. But yeah.
I don't know. People choose to live their life how they want. You have to accept that. I mean, it's the world.
But why does she have to live her life on my TV?
I don't know. That's something for you to ask the Carter family.
Nope. I don't talk to none of them. They make bad life choices. Sure.
They really do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Monday Night Raw. Live from Charlotte, North Carolina. So,
Flair Country.
Yeah, Flair Country. Woo!
Or...
Come on, hear your best woo.
Woo.
That sounded more like Zack Ryder.
Woo, woo, woo. I can do that one. But, like, Flair's woo takes, like, effort. I can't.
You gotta, reach back. You gotta reach back into, you know.
There's a level of sobriety. There's a level of sobriety you cannot have to do the woo correctly. And I'm poor, and I have to save my money for my Caucasian Christmas party, so I'm not there yet. So
yeah. So what you're trying to tell us is your best woos come out at like places like Bourbon Ball.
I mean, that was a classic. Well, classic for a moment. Yeah. Yeah. At the bars.
I'm gonna hit up Reese's Pieces.
Friday. Okay.
I did Didi Woo. I'm gonna send her a tweet right now.
She was partying. My feet hurt, so my partying was on the seat. Like, I didn't get up and do nothing. Like, I hugged my friends and then sat back down. Like, that's legit all I did that night.
Let's see.
And get a drink.
The Twitter app.
You gonna ask her right now? Let's focus. Raw. What happened?
Right. Reese's
Pieces. Samuel.
Okay. I'll save it for later. Okay.
Thank you.
Man, so Monday Night Raw. All right, so the highlight reel opens the show, and Kevin Owens is a guest. Kevin Owens makes references to Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and how in Canada they don't act like that. He lists all the things he's thankful for. One, of course, which is he's thankful for being Universal Champion. He's thankful for being the face of the Kevin Owens show, and he's also thankful for his best friend Chris Jericho. And Jericho is thankful for his scarf, which has anchors, because he and Owens are the anchors of Monday Night Raw. He's thankful for Seth Rollins, to which Owens is dismayed. He's thankful because Rollins lets his ego control his life, and because he's a stupid idiot. And they talked about how he missed another opportunity to become a champion. And Jericho mentions that, no, Owens mentions that they have a word for that, they have a term for that. He Rollins himself. Last week he stated it was Sin Cara wearing a Chris Jericho mask, the mask of Jericho. Roman Reigns comes down to his usual chorus of boos. And they look at him and they're like, can we help you? And Roman and the guys jawjack for a while. Roman goads Owens into admitting that he doesn't need Chris Jericho. If not for Jericho, he'd have lost his title a long time ago. Jericho interrupts, teases putting him on the list, but Owens yells at his best friend to shut up. Jericho is completely petrified while Owens goes in on Roman. Roman challenges Owens at Roadblock, end of the line, because we have to call it that. Kevin's accepts his challenge for the night, and Jericho still has not moved. Okay, so backstage, Owens is annoyed about Roman Reigns. Jericho wants to know why he told him to shut up and why he said he didn't need him. Owens says he can't deal with this right now. He doesn't need him, and every time he comes out to help, he doesn't help. He just makes people think he can't win on his own. The two best friends break up. Mick Foley appears, and he tells Owens that he will be in the match tonight without Jericho. And Jericho says, don't bother because I'm leaving. Okay, Bronny the Strowman versus R-Truth. Bronny squashes R-Truth. Goldust, who feels his life is in danger, attacks Bronny. Bronny grabs him, but Sami Zayn comes out to help. He does some moves on Bronny, but eventually Bronny gets a hold of him, puts him in the Tree of Woe. But before he's able to act, Mick Foley waddles out, and we go to commercial. So after commercial, Sami is in Mick's face, saying he doesn't need him to save him. He doesn't need Mick to save Sami. Byron Saxton interviews Mick. He says he's not saving Sami from Braun. He's saving him from himself. To go back and forth, Mick says that he gave him a punishment the other week because Stephanie wanted Sami fired. At some point, Mick's teeth go flying out of his mouth. We need to get did he put on the Christmas list some poly grip for Mick Foley, please?
What, his dentures really fell out of his mouth?
Yes, you didn't see?
No.
Yeah.
Nasty.
You need some, like, what kind does your granny use? Sami says that Mick was his hero and he doesn't need him taking away his opportunities. And this is reminiscent of Cactus Jack's anti-hardcore feud with Tommy Dreamer back in ECW. Don, are you familiar with this at all?
I'm not familiar with that, sir. That was before my ECW watching days.
Okay, so Tommy Dreamer, of course, is like the innovator of violence or whatever, the innovator of nonsense, whatever he called himself. So Mick Foley, you know, who was basically just completely saying that Tommy doesn't need to sacrifice his body for the adulation of the crowd. So he goes on these anti-hardcore rants about how Tommy needs to save his career and his life by not doing this kind of stuff anymore. And this is where he cuts the infamous Kane Dewey promo. So yeah, this is basically the same thing, except it's with Sami Zayn. So Charlotte is in her locker room listening to music. Didi, what was she listening to? What do you think? What do you think Charlotte listens to?
Nickelback.
Ariana Grande?
Nickelback.
Nickelback? Okay.
Yes. That's my final answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Don, what do you think she listens to?
She seems a little bit more up to date. She probably had that new Bruno Mars then. That's why she was so pissed.
She's no Bruno Mars. She's no Bruno Mars fan. At best, I'll give her Justin Bieber.
Give her the benefit of the doubt.
Nah. Bruno's way too ethnic for her.
Let me see. What's my guess? I don't know. I don't even think I know any. She's listening to Lord. How about that? That Australian what? Chick or whatever she is. Yeah. She's still behind the time. She's back in 2015.
Okay, wait. Let's really think about this. Charlotte's like 30-ish.
Yeah, but Yeah, but I think she tries to be hip and cool, but she fails.
So, like, you know who she listens to? She listens to like the DJs, so like Calvin Harris.
Oh, Calvin. Okay,
that's who she listens to.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll give her that. Yeah. Some dead mail or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, okay, Charlotte's in her locker room jamming out. Dana Brooke appears and she tells her that she's preparing for Charlotte's homecoming party. She said, after tonight, she's going to be the only legend to make it out of that city. Okay, Cedric Alexander versus Tony Nese. This is Cedric Alexander's homecoming, just like Charlotte. Alicia Fox is backstage watching the match sideways. Apparently something happened between the two on the pre-show, but too bad we all missed it because, Didi.
What?
Because we all...
What? I missed it.
See, let me...
Say no to pre-shows. Okay,
apparently something happened between the two of them on a pre-show. Too bad we all missed it because we all...
Say no to pre-shows.
We all say no to pre-shows.
I'm sorry.
Distraction finish after Drew Gulak gets on the apron and distracts Cedric and Tony Nese wins, so take a drink.
Yeah, thank you.
T, what you got?
I have Red Bull.
Okay. It gives you wings. Mm-hmm. You know that they can't say that anymore?
Why not?
Did someone actually sue them because for false advertising?
White people are awful. I know it was a Caucasian person.
Who was a Jesus? Yeah.
I know they were white, and I know they were like, I don't have wings. Where are my wings? You said I would have wings.
That should be the name of the show tonight. Where are my wings?
Oh, my Lord. They ruined everything.
Okay, so what's her name interviews Chris Jericho, who's leaving. She asks if this fight with him and Kevin is serious. He says, it's very serious. In this business, you can count the amount of friends you have on one hand. He thought Kevin was his friend, but if Kevin doesn't need him, he doesn't need Kevin. Mm. He then shuts down the person and walks off. He gets to his car and makes the driver open his door, but when he does, he knocks the list out of his hand. So Jericho dismisses him, and then you can hear someone call out, do I make the list? And Jericho's like, you know, yeah, you made the list. And then he turns around, and it's Seth Rollins.
Yes.
Seth Rollins appears, and he chases Jericho around the car. He finally catches up to him by going through the door instead of, like, this whole, like, cartoon chase around the car. He goes through the door and catches him on the other side. So he tosses him around the backstage here, throws him into barricades and cars and stuff. He throws a metal barricade at Chris, but he ducks out of the way. This is a Pier 6 brawl, as JR would say. And he ends it by giving him a pedigree on top of a car.
It still doesn't compare to the Ahmed Johnson Pearl River Plunge to D'Lo Brown on the car.
Into the moving car?
Yes, doesn't compare.
There was one where he gave somebody like a powerbomb or something. He gave one of the Nation a move on a car as it was driving away.
It's D'Lo Brown, yes.
I was like, dude, you know what would have happened if you would have missed that?
Well, that's Ahmed Johnson. That's horrible. The king of being reckless, but that was one iconic moment.
You know how many people he... Oh, no, the one that's on Shotgun Saturday. No, I'm talking about Monday Night Raw. On Monday Night Raw, he gave D'Lo Brown or one of the Nation guys. So as a car was trying to pull out to get away from him, as that was going on, he powerbombed someone into the trunk of the car as it was moving away from him.
Good old Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah. So Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship. The match begins and the two women fight on the outside. The two get counted out. Mick Foley comes out and says that this match and this rivalry will not end like this. He then calls for a no count and no DQ falls count anywhere match later tonight. And so that's good because it gives people something to look forward to. And people did. Like, their ratings were actually like about as high as they were since the Goldberg return. So at least people tuned in for this.
Without spoilers, I will say that I definitely thought the whole no DQ thing was going to be a reason for useless Dana to try to interfere again. So
that was crazy. Yeah. I thought about that too. But then you know, then Bailey would come and like, you know, back her up.
Which probably would have been fun, but it wasn't necessary after all. But I just knew that that's what the whole point was.
And then, like, Teddy Long would have, like, manifested out of a genie bottle and called for a straight-up tag team match.
Player.
All right, so Enzo versus Rusev. Enzo doesn't know when to leave well enough alone. Comes out, makes comments about Lana, and Rusev talks a lot of smack. Rusev, the babyface, defending his wife, beats the living hell out of Enzo, gives Enzo a blatant low blow and Cash chases Rusev out of the ring. Rusev is on the ramp screaming, "Never talk about my wife." So that was pretty cool. Another interview robot interviews Mark Henry about some movie he was in, apparently. I don't know. Titus O'Neil interrupts and says that that was supposed to be his movie, but Mark stole it. Mark tries to walk away, but Titus grabs his arm like he did Vince McMahon. Mark shoves him, and that's that.
Speaking of movies that Titus was in, there's a man, and the only reason why I know it's not Titus is because he's too short. There's a man who looks exactly like Titus in the movie Time Cop from 1994.
Oh, God.
I only know that because I watched Time Cop after Lucha Underground last night.
Time Cop.
It was amazing. Great movie. That's the one where he jumps into the split in his boxers, Jean-Claude Van Damme does.
Yeah, I remember that one. That
National was Treasure, one. That man. Mm-hmm.
Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one. The one
with, with who? With what?
The girl. I forgot her name. She
the
was
black
in,
girl?
She was in How to Be a Player.
The
Mary Moreau or something?
No.
She was in a bunch of movies.
Gloria Rubin?
But yeah. No. Not Gloria Rubin.
Then who are you talking about? There's only one.
Some other girl.
There's only one black girl.
It was Gloria Rubin?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking about another movie because she was in some action movie with somebody. I don't know. She was in a bunch of movies. It sucked.
Yeah, she was descriptive there where you're trying to, you know, have somebody help you get the
answer. She's in a bunch of movies. Great.
You'd be the worst erase partner ever.
We need to be on Name That Flick with Classic so I can beat you.
Hell yeah.
I'll beat you last time.
You would definitely beat me. I'm awful.
I lost to somebody. I don't remember who, and I didn't appreciate it.
You lost to me. I beat you.
Yeah, I feel like I needed a do-over. I feel like you stacked the deck in your favor.
Because when you talk about, like, Star Trek and stuff,
yeah,
like that,
the shit wasn't fair.
Well, if we were talking about, like...
regular movies? Yeah.
If we were doing one on, like, Housewives and all the other shit, then you would have...
Oh, done deal. Yeah, but, you know, I have a lot of general knowledge. It just doesn't apply to Star Wars or Trek. Unless we want to get into these new movies. And still okay, not, and still not Star Wars.
Her name was Mary Moreau. She was a national security uninvited guest. Children of the, she was in the third Children of the Corn movie. She was the
who watches the Children of the Corn movie?
I watched
it once. You want to watch a movie about demonic Caucasian children?
That's okay. Yeah. I see enough of those every day at work.
Like, I mean, the Trumps, they're right there. Like, we don't need to watch them. I'm gonna stop. for the NSA.
Gonna get us on our watch list.
For me, right,
you're about to be able to text your phone.
I know.
Oh yeah.
Let me stop.
You're gonna have an NSA backing him. Shit, man. Like, can you just imagine like the kind of pettiness you'll be on?
Oof.
Like someone talk bad about me on Twitter. NSA, go find out. Go ruin this person's life.
Matter of fact, forget I said anything. I have an Ivanka dress and it's really pretty.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
All right. So where was I? Oh, Rich Homie Swan. Rich Homie Swan versus Noam Dar. Brian Kendrick is on commentary. Swan kicks Dar in the head, turns around, and pins him. Corey Graves interviews Swan in the ring after the match. Swan cuts a promo on Kendrick about their championship match tomorrow. He says Kendrick is doubting himself because Swan already beat him twice. But the third time is going to be much sweeter because it will make him the Cruiserweight champion. Okay, so Sheamus is hanging out at the bar with Tessa Blanchard. Tessa Blanchard leaves. He and Cesaro pulls up and they start talking about their differences in tag teaming. They can't stand each other. They can't get along. They're just not compatible. Have you seen the movie, the 1974 film, The Wrestler?
No.
Don is a long time wrestling fan. I know you've seen it.
Negative, sir.
Okay. Well, it's okay. So, basically, this is taken straight from the movie. But instead, it's Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch having a brawl with a bunch of guys in the bar. It's pretty much word for word.
Fine.
Okay. That's your history nugget. So Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Match, wrestle. Roman goes for the spear, but Owens blocks it with a kick, and Roman bounces off the ropes and spears him anyway. Roman wins and gets a title shot at Roadblock the Line. We would be shocked and dismayed by this if we didn't already see the advertising. Good job, WWE. Okay, so What's Her Name interviews Kevin Owens after his match. He calls her a heartless robot, which I completely agree. She's a robot. He says Chris Jericho, his best friend, and yes, he's still his best friend, is on his way to a medical facility after being attacked by Seth Rollins. And the only reason he lost tonight is because his mind was on Jericho's condition. He misses What's Her Name and screams at her. So that was pretty good. An unshaven Paul Heyman, who looks like he's been in tears, is interviewed and talks about how shocked he was after the Lesnar match. He says Goldberg cracked Brock's ribs and says he couldn't breathe. So you remember like the Royal Rumble when he had that triple threat match and like he actually legit broke his ribs?
Nope.
Or cracked his ribs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Gallows and Anderson versus The New Day.
Meh.
These two are right. These two teams wrestle for the 80th time. New Day gets the heel victory once again. New Day pulls the tights. However, Anderson did it first.
Yes. Okay, but so Xavier Bailey did it better.
Right. Xavier got the pin with it. Yeah. So Bailey and Sasha are talking back.
Wait. Can we celebrate that Xavier got the pin, though?
I know, right?
Class it's usually Biggie.
It's usually Biggie and Kofi.
Yeah, and if there's a loss, then it's usually Xavier.
He takes the pin. He doesn't get the pin.
Exactly. He's like Enzo in that way.
Okay, so Bailey and Sasha are backstage. Bailey wishes her good luck. Sasha cuts a heel promo. Bailey, this isn't about you. Heel Sasha needs to come back. I miss her so much. She said, this town needs a champion. And she dedicates tonight's match to Ric Flair, a true legend. So Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. Before we start, this match had this whole like Saturday night feel to it, kind of like a, you know, like a weekend wrestling show feel to them. I don't know if either one of y'all got that from this match, but I did. Like it had like a main event type match feel to it from like, you know, like all back in the day. Like it was like a non-televised house match. It was like really, really good. You know, back before they were televising shows.
Oh, it was good. Okay.
The match was good. The show itself was good.
No. I just wanted to get to what you were trying to say. That it was a good match that was unusually good for Raw. That's what you.
Well, they had a good match. Let's see if you listen to the show. You see that I said last week's match was good too.
It didn't come up in my feed. I'm sorry. I listened to the one before. 109 wasn't on there. Sorry, kid.
All right. So these two women fight. Sasha does a tope to the outside, and she suplexes her on the mats. Charlotte tries to get Sasha into the figure four. These two have such great chemistry together, but we don't need to see it every week. Charlotte gives terrible chops. These are my observations. Charlotte gives terrible chops. Charlotte kicks Sasha in the face. Sasha hits the back of her head on the outside. Banks looks like she's out. Charlotte goes for the pin, but Sasha comes to life at two. Charlotte hits a natural selection on Sasha on the outside, but she kicks out at two. Sasha gets a kendo stick and starts beating Charlotte with it and prompts people to chant ECW. Charlotte gives Sasha a neck breaker. And all this is happening on the outside. Charlotte gives her the figure eight. Sasha reaches over with the kendo stick and whacks Charlotte on the torso. The crowd chants, this is awesome.
The crowd loves her. Was she standing up in your living room telling her to get the kendo stick?
I had a conniption. Like, I was like, it's right there. Like, it was awful. I'm sure my neighbors hated me for about 45 seconds on Monday.
That's what I was saying when, like, after she hit Charlotte with that move, or she kicked her or whatever, and she fell to the floor and she was out. Yeah. I was like, go for the pin, dummy, go for the pin. Not that I wanted her to, I'm just saying, like, don't just stand there looking at her. So anyway, back to the match. So, Charlotte takes apart the announce table. Sasha attacks Charlotte, but Charlotte is able to kick her off the stage. Charlotte sets up and executes a moonsault off the table down to Sasha at the bottom of the stage. Sasha kicks at it too. Charlotte drags Sasha down the ramp back to the ringside area to fight. Sasha gets up on the barricade and gives Charlotte the double knees for a two count. That was a pretty cool move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte's arm is scratched up to hell. I think it was the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Beating her for the ancestors.
Right. For the people, right? Okay, so Sasha starts hitting her with it again. The two fight into the crowd. Sasha fits Charlotte's body in between a handrail and puts the bank statement on her, and out of nowhere, Charlotte taps. It seemed kind of anticlimactic when it happened because you weren't expecting it, especially not out on the outside like that. So then she celebrates. Ric Flair comes out. He marches down to the ring, gets in, and raises Sasha's arm in victory. The two hug, and Sasha is crying, and we go off the air as she celebrates in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So a really good match. It had an old school feel to it. I don't know if anybody else felt it, but I did. So,
well, as long as Sasha Bey is the champion again on Monday Night Raw, in the Black Lives Matter section of the crowd, she gets to tap out. Everything's good.
That was great too. She did it right there. She did it for the people. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. She had the cheering section, the big girl in the front row with the striped dress on,
giving me all kinds of life. Yes.
And the dude behind her. That was like an utter shock when she won. It was hilarious.
Oh, that dude, he was just like so shocked. Dude, I remember I saw that. What did y'all think of this match? I mean, I thought the ending was kind of out of nowhere, but I guess, I mean, I don't know.
I enjoyed it.
It was a good match.
I enjoyed it. It was unexpected. However, it does continue the theme of there are no hometown heroes in this bitch. Like, you're not safe. Don't have a title match in your hometown because you're gonna lose.
As a matter of fact, when you sign on that dotted line, don't tell them where you're from.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, where are you from? Guam.
I'm from parts unknown.
I'm from Guam. You let me know when we're visiting there.
I remember like on the old school wrestling video games, like pro wrestling for NES. I forgot which one, but one of the characters that said like where he's from, it was just like a bunch of question marks.
Oh yeah,
I'm from Death Valley. That's where I'm from. You let me know when we have a Monday Night Raw.
From the fifth dimension.
Like, I just wouldn't do
hanging out with Errol Starr.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Which one's from the fifth dimension? Is it Pentagon or?
I think it might be Pentagon.
Yeah.
Well, Pentagon's arc isn't from the fifth dimension. He's from Veracruz. Something with an X. Veracruz, Mexico. That was rude. I know. I'm sorry.
No. That was cool. If it was Pacey McPacer son, then yeah, I would have.
See, ethnic people can do that.
Yeah, but you're the people.
Yeah, I'm a Jason. I was born in New Mexico.
Oh yeah, I forgot you were right.
Yeah.
Eat those Tostitos.
Yeah, and then the very next question from stupid people. Unfortunately, black. Are you Mexican?
Have you got that before?
From like kindergarten through seventh grade, and I was like, you really got to look at a map. It's a state close to Texas. So yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Some folks. No, it was funny because like I knew like there were like some Afro Latinos that I know, and as soon as they tell like people, they're like, "Oh, I'm Dominican," or "Hey, I'm whatever," they bust out with the "Hola, señorita." I think it's funny though. They find it annoying, of course.
So Sam, would you give this what would you give this on your, you know, Sour Patch to, you know,
I'll give this 5 patches,
like sweet unsweet tea scale of rating Raw.
Oddly enough, I don't do the sweet tea. I mean maybe if it's like
that's why I said unsweet tea. I know you don't do sweet tea.
I'm not diabetic or anything. I just don't like it. I just don't like the taste.
Yeah, that's why it's unsweet, because you're always bitter about everything.
Don't you dare be sour. No, how many packs of Sour Patch Kids do I give this one? I give this a 4.5.
Okay.
4.5 packs. So, yeah. It was a good, I mean, the show overall was lame as usual, but, yeah. I don't know where the Sami Zayn thing is going. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't like it. Like, is, like, Foley going to refuse to put him in a match with Braun, and then finally he'll relent and have him in the cage match or something?
Oh, they're going to have some sort of big stipulation type of match.
Yeah,
like
it can't just be a regular
Iron Man match or something.
It has to be, oh, come on, with Braun? No, I don't think so. No, do not put Braun in the Iron Man anything.
Or a last man standing match or something like that.
Something. Some kind of stipulation, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens there. So what do you think?
I really like
Sheamus and Cesaro as a team.
Is it growing on you?
I think they should be the next champs as soon as they're slated to their streak stops. I mean, the record is broken on the 14th, I think, or the 16th. So I think after the day after or whatever, they're gonna lose the titles.
But if that happens, that's one more team in front of Enzo and Cass and another babyface quote unquote team as well. So we're like that much farther away from Enzo and Cass being the champion.
Let me let you know a little secret. I don't know if they told you, if they went over there to North Carolina and told you. But Enzo isn't very good.
They don't make him look very good.
No, I think he's not a good wrestler. Come on. Dude, that's not how they make him look. Like,
dude,
look
it ain't about, at some point, it ain't about being a good wrestler. It's about being freaking over and being somebody that the people want to see that they pay their money to come see. See, you got it twisted. You got this thing where you got to be a good wrestler. There's been plenty of shitty wrestlers that's been, you know, the people want to see.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not one of them. Not for me, anyway.
Oh, he is. And if they ever give him a chance to, because the promo war, we want to see the promo war between the New Day and Enzo and Cass.
Didn't they already do that?
Yeah, and then they became friends.
Right. They teased it. They didn't go full on.
How you think Cass knew to say sweet potato pie? When he was naming off all his food.
They've been kicking it together, huh?
Yeah, they're friends.
You thought he was going to break out of You Name It?
That'd have been levels. I'm actually surprised Kofi and them didn't, though. Or did they?
They did it with the Raw Tag Teams the week before.
Okay.
But you weren't here to review it with us.
Sorry, Charlie. No.
She was watching How to Get Away with...
She was enjoying her festival.
I was back with my family.
Yes.
I was doing family things, like watching basketball, which I hate. Hey, let's take a break. The one day that I didn't watch basketball with my family, I went to Chicago to see my other side of my family. Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade were in the little ass town watching basketball in the same place I should have been. I was like, really? Really? But then again, I don't really like either one of them anyhow. It's just the principle.
It's the principalities, right?
Like, how is the famous people? They would have been right there.
It's just the proximity of how close you could have been to somebody.
Could have famous, been. Right? It was like, nope. No, no, no. Was at the Olive Garden.
Yeah. Look at you, all fancy at the Olive Garden. Yeah, eating the breadsticks and salad and soup.
Asking for some more of that cheese on her salad.
That salad was good as hell, too. Anyway.
Good.
It was real good.
Look at you.
SmackDown matters, Tom.
It's my turn. Okay.
Sure, go for it.
The things, they happen. Renee's in, oh wait, we're in Columbia, South Carolina this week. Renee's in the ring because the women, Becky Lynch and Dons Bay, Alexa Bliss, are going to sign their women's championship contract. So, Alexa kicks Renee out of the ring and insults her fashion sense and calls Becky's title defense dumb Irish luck. Becky says Alexa reminds her of her 4-year-old cousin because she is obsessed with glitter and complains a lot. So then Becky signs a contract and Alexa's mocking her. And Becky's like, bitch, I had a headline match at WrestleMania with SmackDown's first women's pick and I'm the champion. What have you done with your life besides your red tips on your hair? Nothing. So I added that extra part. Okay, so then Alexa is doing like the because, you know, Becky makes her sick. And she says she would pour ice water over Becky's hot fire. She ain't no dialogue now. Like, let's calm down. And then Alexa signs the contract while mocking Becky and says she grew up on a potato farm. That's rude. That's an Irish joke. The potato famine. Yeah, so anyway, Becky attacks her, beats her ass, makes her nose bleed a little. And as she sets up Alexa for an exploder off of the top rope onto a table, Alexa fights her off, and Becky ends up going to the table. And she, like, kind of grins, kind of wipes the blood off her nose, and that's how they go into commercial.
That totally sucked, man. What's Becky Lynch doing snuffing my girl like that? That's not even how that's supposed to work.
I mean, Alexa is all of, like, 3 feet tall. Like, she can't really.
Anybody's supposed to be doing the snuffing. It's Alexa.
But she 3 feet tall. That'd be like Masquerita Sagrada being like the thug. Like, that ain't how that works. She got to play spoiler. Like, that's how that got to go.
But I did like that they had her push Becky to the table.
Yeah. Like, take advantage of it. Come out on top anyway. Like, she little. That's how that got to go. But anyway. Next is the Ziggles with Kalisto in a tag match versus Baron Corbin and The Miz. Okay. Kalisto hit the Salida del Sol on Miz and he had him pinned, but Baron Corbin hit him with a chair for the DQ. Ziggles was somewhere getting his ass beat outside of the ring. Per use. Tuesday was JBL's 50th birthday. He's aging like a Democrat. I don't know what that's about, but okay. Next, American Alpha, you know, the biracial siblings, are getting ready backstage when Dasha asks if they were ready for the unpredictable Wyatts. They say something like, the black one can make the Wyatts levitate with suplexes and Chad can make the lights go out. And all they care about are the tag titles. And they say that they're the top team on SmackDown. And then they say the Wyatts better run. Ooh.
Yeah, super lame-o.
It was. It was like he tried. Aw. Elsewhere, Bray's about to deliver a message to American Alpha, but Orton interrupts and delivers it instead. He says that they will do what it takes and asks Luke Harper if he was willing to do the same. And then Bray tells Luke to take care of Kane. Why is Kane still fighting? I don't know. I thought that was a one-time thing. I thought we were over that. Apparently not. So then Carmella comes to the ring for a match, but first she has a message for Nikki Bella's boyfriend, John Cena. She says she's apologizing preemptively because she's going to hit Nikki in her chest so hard with the chair that her Bella twins pop out.
That was great.
That's a reference to her implants. She says some other things, but Nikki runs out, beats that ass, and then the referee holds her off and Carmella runs away.
I like how the crowd was chanting, how you doing? And she's like, I've been doing a hell of a lot better once I'm out of this town.
I was like, oh, girl. Let them have the Jersey love for you. Or what is it? Staten Island love? Whatever.
No, she got to work it. Got to get that heat. Get that heat.
Aww.
Good job, Carmella. Good job, Carmella. Good job.
She did do her job. But it's just like you're not doing what you're supposed to do in regards to what Enzo did for you. He's helping from a whole other show. You're not appreciative. You're not appreciative.
She's not taking the phone, right?
That's right. I don't like it.
Reach out and tell somebody.
Reach out. Nope, can't say. Next! Ambrose. Oh, Ambrose did the Ambrose Asylum and the things, and I don't care. And Ellsworth came out. And apparently Ellsworth needs new shoes. Oh, he asked if he's ever imagined being here. He's like, no, I couldn't imagine that 6 months ago, but I kept coming back, and now I'm a superstar. You got to do it in your head like Molly Shannon. Superstar.
Are you over Ellsworth at this point or not yet?
No, I still love Young Chandler's. I'm kind of over talking about him because it always involves Ambrose, and that I'm totally over. So
I don't know if it was you on Twitter or someone said that Ambrose might turn on him at the pay-per-view.
I mean, I've thought that for a while now. That's why I thought he was so pressed to try to get Ellsworth the championship so he could just snatch it the easy way, which is what I would do. So, you know.
Look at you with the shenanigans and you're thinking.
Oh, I'm a schemer. Okay? That's what I do. So I'm just assuming that, you know.
That means that she'll get a whole 12-piece Popeyes in the movies, fellas.
Yeah. That's why I'm having a Caucasian Christmas party. You know, Joanne, the scammer. Get it? Okay, anyway. So Ellsworth thanks Dean, and he's like, you must have good karma from a previous life, but you can thank me by washing my car or picking up like a six-pack of beer. And then he says, okay, who are you, Ellsworth, rooting for this Sunday? He said it'd be an honor to face Ambrose, but he has beaten AJ Styles 3 times. AJ comes out. He says the segment sucked. True. He says Ambrose would be better off with a ventriloquist dummy because at least the dummy would have a chin.
Yeah. Classic. If you can cue in, there's a famous clip of like the NWO laughing, going, you should put that in there.
Man, I love the chin jokes. They never get old. Ambrose is like, well, you have lost to the dummy 3 times. And then he's like, well, yeah, but that was all your fault. And he's like, you will respect me, damn it.
He's like, see what happened was.
And he says, if he didn't get the respect from Ambrose, he would beat it out of him. And then he said he would finish Ellsworth after he destroys Ambrose. Ambrose says some things. I don't care. AJ pushes Ellsworth into Ambrose. Ambrose falls into the ladder. Then AJ drops the steel steps onto Ambrose. Ellsworth stands up to AJ, but AJ knocks him down and drops the ladder on him. Ellsworth finds himself leaning upside down against the side of the ring. So AJ cracked him over the back with a chair. Then, in the most epic of style clashes I've seen lately, at least, AJ gives Ellsworth a style clash off of the steel steps and onto the floor.
And he tucked his chin, too, like an idiot.
Oh, did he? Yeah. What chin?
Oh, no, what you can't tuck your chin. He tucked his head.
See?
No, he didn't. No, we would have known if he would have tucked his head because we would have heard that things Ellsworth.
No, I didn't hear that he tucked his head.
Oh, the very first one he took? Yeah.
At some point during that night, he tucked his head during a style clash.
Oh, it didn't look like it on this one. It wasn't as noticeable, I'll put it that way.
So were there multiple Styles clashes on him?
When he took it the very first time, the very first time he actually took the Styles clash, yeah, he did tuck his head, and he almost didn't make it.
Wow. Yeah. So the Styles clash, if you tuck your chin, what happens?
You will break your neck.
Your head hits the canvas or whatever.
Bitch, yes. You're not putting me in a Styles clash. I tell you what, wrestlers are interesting people.
If you keep your eyes like up towards the sky, you'll be fine. Uh-huh. You'll land also on your chin.
If Styles gets enough air, you should be fine.
Right.
No, I don't think I would ever take that chance.
Most wrestling moves are taught for you to tuck your chin.
It's instinctive at that point.
Right.
Especially like if you're hanging upside down and you just naturally do it.
Oh, that's awful. Well, anyway, they did that to Ellsworth. Ellsworth apparently looked like he died, regardless of whether the chin was tucked or not. So,
splat.
It was like, oof. Like a chest kind of hurt.
I thought he was going to do it on the steps. And then when he jumped off the steps, I was like, oh, that's even worse.
Oh, it was all bad and it was great. Yeah, it was amazing. So paramedics, I have quotation marks, took Ellsworth out on a stretcher, and he comes into the ambulance, and then Ambrose, like, he says it's his fault and he'll fix it, and who cares?
That's because you'd be creep casting on the paramedics.
They were fine as hell. They were clearly amateur wrestlers because they were entirely too big to be real EMTs, even for Rent. They were cute as a hat. Like the bearded one with the man bun. How you doing?
You about to fall out just so they could pick you up?
No. Because don't touch me. But how you doing? No. But how you doing? You can buy me a drink. I don't like people touching me.
Can I give you a hug?
No, I don't like people touching me because they grab the wrong parts. Like, I was at the bar the other day, and this man, like, tried to get my attention by grabbing the fat on my arm. I was like, what are you doing?
He definitely got your attention. Just the wrong attention.
I cursed him out. He was African. Not that that means anything. It's just a descriptor. I was like, why?
We're all African, Dini. Come on.
You're not. I was like, why did you touch me? So, yeah, don't touch me. The Trumps aren't African either. Sorry. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. There was a Kane match against Luke Harper. Kane won. That's all I got for you.
Via the choke slam.
Yeah, yeah.
And this went like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not good. That long. Yeah, it went like real long. It went like a commercial break.
Too long. Why? Too long.
Why?
Way too long. I don't know. I guess Kane had to get his monthly monies. Backstage, Renee catches up. What are you drinking? What are you sipping on?
All that money he put into Gary Johnson's campaign.
Who?
He's get that back.
Oh, Kane did?
Kane, he's a libertarian.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, because he's a libertarian.
Interesting. I asked you what you were drinking, but you just ignored my question. That's fine.
Oh, I was drinking water, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm not a...
Water. Go away. Go pause yourself. Backstage, Renee catches up with Becky, who's icing her back. She says she has a spine bruise, but will defend her title no matter what. Renee informs Becky that Alexa has challenged her to a tables match. And Becky's like, I don't care what kind of match it is. I'm going to get my revenge on that little bitch.
I'm Becky Bamboo. Irish.
I can only do British.
I'm Becky Bamboo.
It's awful. Speaking of Balboa, there's a snappy chat filter for Rocky today. Just if you're interested, you can be like Becky and like Rocky all at one time. So the next match, the final match, is the tag team titles number one contenders match. So that's Bray and Randy versus American Alpha. I don't want to go through all this. Okay, near the end of the match, Bray grabbed Jordan for his sister Abigail, but Gable blocked it. They set up for a grand amplitude, but Orton popped into the ring and nailed Gable with an RKO. Bray dodged a running shoulder block from Jordan and hits a sister Abigail for the win. If y'all want to talk about the details, y'all can. I don't.
I wonder how racist Randy feels about having a biracial tag team partner.
Well, see, white people don't know when ethnic people are around. A lot of the time, which is why so many of us were able to pass. Unless it's just like, hey, I'm a black guy, like, you know, like Xavier Woods. Like, they're not going to know. But he doesn't know that Bray's ethnic. He's just like, oh, you don't wash your hair. Cool. They don't get it. They don't understand. Oh, okay. But the show's not over. Sorry. So Fuentes catches up to Slater and Rhino backstage and asks how they would get ready for the Wyatts. Heath says the Wyatts need to get ready for them. And then AJ interrupts and says, nobody cares about y'all. And Rhino crumples his chips and gets in his face. AJ's laughing, but then suddenly, out of nowhere, Dean Ambrose runs in and wildly attacks him. And as the show goes off the air, Ambrose is beating the crap out of AJ while Slater and Rhino cheer it on.
Yay.
And that's it. Excuse me.
That was fun.
Good show.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
SmackDown. Gentlemen, what SmackDown does every week, deliver those good shows.
Flourishing, popping, working.
What happened? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We screwed up. And we have to take accountability for that. And there's no getting around that. We screwed up. We took Goldberg lightly. Fantasy warfare just got real. This guy's a relic who hasn't stepped in the ring in 12 years. And he steps into the ring with Brock Lesnar, the conqueror, the beast. We thought this would have been the easiest payday of Brock's career. And right out of the gate, Goldberg spears Brock and cracks Brock's ribs. And from there, it's fait accompli. You can't breathe. You can't fight.
How is Brock dealing with all this?
Like you care. Like you've been sitting up at night worrying how Brock Lesnar can process all of this. The broken ribs are part of the game. That's it. It's like a doctor crying, all I get to do is see sick people. You come into this business, injuries occur. And that's an accepted part of it. But the humiliation, the embarrassment, there's no excuses that we can offer here. This goes into history. People can watch this over and over again for the next 100 years. This goes in the record book. This is part of Brock Lesnar's legacy, that he got beat in a minute 26. He's dealt with losses before. I've been with him through ups and through downs, but this is embarrassing. And it has put Brock in the mindset that he has something to prove, which scares me. That moment can define you, it can destroy you, or it can drive you to greater heights than you've ever achieved before. And think about what a Brock Lesnar with something to prove is going to be capable of. I don't think we've ever seen this side of Brock Lesnar before.
So, Paul, what is next for Brock Lesnar?
Well, if Brock Lesnar has something to prove, then he's going to prove it. So if Goldberg's in the Royal Rumble match, Brock Lesnar is in the Royal Rumble match. And there's only going to be room for one winner, one conqueror, and 28 losers, and one victim. And that victim's name is Goldberg.
All right, so what are we up to next, Don?
We're going to spread in a little 205 Live. You guys can go on to our Twitter account, the official Twitter app, and vote on our poll. We're looking for a hashtag for this show for those of us that are going to watch it. So it starts off with everybody that's going to be on the show being introduced out on the stage.
On the ramp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the stage.
So then we get the Bollywood Boys versus Tony Nese and Drew Gulak. Then we have a Bollywood Boys video package before the match. The Bollywood Boys win the match with a double super kick, gimmick infringement, on Gulak. And then after the match, we get an interview with the losers making excuses for their loss. The Young Bucks are going to have some issues with the Bollywood Boys when they see this match. What say you, Sam?
It was on. I wasn't really paying attention.
No, oh, okay. Well, I'm surprised that the Young Bucks haven't tweeted anything yet about them using a double super kick.
Well, I mean, they didn't invent the thing. I mean, come on. But yeah, like I did see the GIF. It did look a little too eerily similar.
Yes. Our next match, Arya Daivari versus Gentleman Jack Gallagher. If you guys are familiar with the CWC, of course, Gentleman Jack Gallagher does the vaudevillains gimmick better than the vaudevillains.
He really
is
does.
A man.
he also looks like Ellsworth if Ellsworth had a chin and was actually 29 like they say he is.
Gallagher does a thing where he ties Daivari up into the ball. That was really cool.
Was he the one that did that at the CWC or was that somebody else?
No, that was him.
Someone tied someone up in a ball.
That's just Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
Okay, cool.
He hits the running drop kick in the corner and he gets the pin to defeat Daivari. Then we get a Lindsay Dorado video package. And then we get our main event, the Brian Kendrick versus Rich Homie Swan for the Cruiserweight title. They go back and forth. Kendrick, you know, picks out a certain body part. It happens to be Rich Swan's neck, of course, as he's trying to go for the bully choke eventually. He, like, draped it over the dang on steel that connects the ring to the turnbuckle, the ring post and the turnbuckle. It's pretty nasty looking. But through it all, Rich Swan hits three spinning heel kicks, and he pins Kendrick, and he gets the win to become the new Cruiserweight champion. And then we get an in-ring promo for Rich Swan. He dedicates the match to his mom. And then we get a outside-the-ring promo from Kendrick where he talks about, you know, TJ Perkins being a distraction and just having all these excuses for why he lost. So Rich Homie Swan is the, and please say the homie, is your new Cruiserweight champion.
Hooray.
They did it. They took a long way to get there, but they finally got the right champion.
What you mean? The Brian Kendrick was the right champion.
I'm sorry. But no,
that's okay. That's okay. He's a man with a plan. He'll come back.
People don't get on their feet when the Brian Kendrick comes out.
Well, there was no one in the arena. I mean, come on.
For the amount of the people that they did have, Jack Gallagher, and then about the middle of that match, they did get the people into it, so... Maybe they'll rearrange it and put them at the beginning of SmackDown.
Okay. Well, then it will be live.
Well,
they have to figure something out because that's not a good look. I mean, people are walking out as like your big matches are happening.
Right, because it's super late.
Oh, wait. So that means if I go to the show, I'll also see 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I got to talk to the chairman about it. He said he'd go with me, but I haven't even looked at ticket prices.
That's it.
If you put it at the beginning, there'll be no one there to see it because, you know, people don't start really pouring in until a little bit later.
So either way, people won't be there to see it. So what's the difference?
Yeah. And some indie arena matches.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they just do this at Full Sail or something? It's anything. This is just going to be ridiculous. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be live for long.
Look at you. Sour as hell. You couldn't even stop yourself.
It's the truth. I speak the truth. I only speak the truth on this show, Deidre.
It's just the only species of truth.
Sour.
Another truth is everybody needs to help keep our podcast free by visiting Amazon.com through CSPN.us. It's that time of the year. Do your shopping, online shopping. Don't fight the crowds. Don't fight having to look for parking spots. Don't get in a fight trying to get the last cheap TV that may last 6 months. Go through CSPN.us.
In other words, don't get you a Vizio. That's what he's saying.
Click on Keep Up Podcast Free banner on the page. Click on the Amazon banner. Do your shopping. Give some of that money back to CSPN so we can keep the WrestleCast and all the podcasts here on the CSPN free. And we can keep bringing you this great content every week. So now we're going to get into a little bit of NXT.
First, did either one of y'all do any Black Friday shopping?
All online. I don't go out anywhere.
You don't leave the house. I mean, so.
Yeah, I bought it online. Don went Black Friday shopping, didn't you, friend?
I actually went.
Cyber Monday?
That wasn't even Cyber Monday. That was 50% off t-shirts on WWEshop.com Tuesday.
All right. However it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got me a New Day shirt, yeah.
So I have sure one that, coming in the mail myself.
That's right. DD will no longer be booty.
Which shirt are you getting?
I don't know. What'd you buy me, Don?
You got the classic Gutios.
See, we should all get matching New Day shirts. I'm telling you.
Oh my God, that'd be so adorable. Xavier?
I guess how that would work out.
I think I'm.
I guess by default I'm Biggie.
You're clearly Biggie. Like that's not even a negotiation right there.
I'm just saying.
I get to wear the dad shoes, so I get to be Kofi.
You get to wear the pigtails. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Xavier has natural hair. So he is me. Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna blow that trumpet, so there you go.
Hey.
See, your mind is just something better. I wasn't even going there.
I don't believe you. That didn't sound right.
See how one comment can just take the whole conversation into the ditch?
We were going along just fine.
Well, it's moving down the road, and then it just went creaming into a ditch. You know better, dude.
I mean, bring it back. We've got Asuka starting off the show. Hey, Boo. Versus Nicole Matthews. Asuka wins with the Asuka lock.
Hey, Nicole Matthews.
Whew.
Who's Nicole Matthews? She anybody?
She is a tag team partner of Portia Perez, a tag team who at many points held the tag team champions in that the tag team championships in that company DDS doesn't exist.
It doesn't. I don't care.
Yeah. She's really good. Like was she there doing the job, the JOB?
Yes, she was.
Okay. Yeah, she's really good. Like, I hope they eventually at some point sign her.
Yeah. Then we get a recap of the Sanity beatdown of the Rich Homie Swan and No Way Jose from last week. Then we have Samoa Joe as a backstage promo, but he gets interrupted by Ty Dillinger. Ty says he wants the title shot tonight. Joe says that he's been humiliated once in this country and that Ty isn't on his level. He asks Ty what reason did he have to even be in the ring with him tonight. Ty looks at his hands and says he can think of 10, but he'll only need one, and smacks Joe and takes off. And of course, Samoa Joe goes crazy. So then we get an official match this week between No Way Jose and Eric Young. Jose is doing his thing, starting to get riled up. The Sanity's trying to interfere. He hits one of them with the pitch, but he gets distracted by Nikki Cross. DB, put your water in the air. And then EY hits his wheelbarrow net breaker and gets the win. Distraction finish. We get an Oscar promo about her lack of competition. She says there's nobody that can face and can beat Asuka. There's nobody. Then we get our main event, Ty Dillinger versus Samoa Joe. Really good match. Samoa Joe starts working on Ty Dillinger's knee. Ty Dillinger gets some offense. He tries to go for the tiebreaker, but he can't hold Samoa Joe up. It's, you know, he's got a bad knee. Samoa Joe ends up powerbombing him. He turns that into the Boston Crab. He turns that into the STF, and then he turns that into the Coquina Clutch. And Ty Dillinger eventually passes out, and Samoa Joe gets the win. And that was your episode of NXT for this week. Just main event was spectacular. Ty Dillinger, it looked like it might be like one of his like last matches. He kind of had like a wave to the crowd. I mean, this was taped in Ottawa, so that may have something to do with it. But yeah, very, very, very enjoyable main event. And Asuka is just killing folks, and that's always enjoyable. So I really enjoyed NXT this week.
Cool.
No Ember Moon sighting, though, so.
Well, I saw plenty of her on Up, Up, Down, Down, so that was cool. She did a two-parter. There's another part that I think already dropped already that I haven't watched yet.
Okay. So, hashtag, cool. We're watching, folks, Up, Up, Down, Down, featuring Ember Moon.
Yeah, where she reveals her favorite game ever. So if you ever want to know about Ember Moon's favorite game, watch Up, Up, Down, Down.
All right, Dee Dee, it's just me and you this week because somebody didn't watch Lucha Underground.
What? This wasn't the episode to miss, friend.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna say it right off the bat. This was the best episode so far of season 3.
Yeah. All right, so
yeah, it was really on and popping. So the show begins with the recap of the beef between Pentagon Dark and the Black Lotus Triad and how it interweaves with, you know, Black Lotus and Azteca Jr. And it shows, of course, Pentagon Dark breaking both of their arms, Black Lotus and Dragon Azteca Jr. Then in the back, when the show actually starts, we have Pentagon Dark and Vampiro run into each other literally with the headbutt. Vampiro basically tells him that things will eventually catch up to him, even though he's not his master anymore. He's, you know, trying to drop some advice on him. And then throughout the whole night, like, Vampiro is talking in these like cryptic verses like he's Yoda or something. Pentagon Dark will compete in a gauntlet match tonight versus the Black Lotus Triad. So first up is Doku.
Who is a Kari Hojo from Stardom.
Okay. Basically, it's, you know, how we always talk about how Pentagon Jr. basically doesn't matter who you are. If you get in the ring, you signed up for violence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. This is what this is about. Violence. Mm-hmm. Doko, I mean, she's handling her own. I mean, she's dishing out as much violence, but then she starts taking more. Pentagon counters Doku's. She does one elbow drop. She goes for another one off the top. He counters that into, you know, the submission where he basically breaks her arm and he wins the match. So then we go to a commercial. And then we come back and it's Joseph, the character Joseph. He gets approached by Katrina, who reveals that they have had a history. And basically, I guess they were dating or in love or something, because Katrina reveals that he's wearing one of her stones. But she says that now she's in love with someone else. So then we get Pentagon. He declares that he will break all the Triad's arms, no matter how many they are, and he's going to break Black Lotus's body in two. So then we get our next match, Yuri versus Pentagon. Okay, Pentagon catches Yuri coming off the rope into the package pile driver position. He gives her the package pile driver, and then he breaks her arm. Now, I really like her style. She was really like kind of like high flying, doing a lot of like kind of like lucha libre, like really lucha libre type style, where Doku was more of like a Japanese style, I would guess, more of a strong style. But Yuri was like a high flyer. So DD, weigh in, because I know you was watching this.
I mean, it was lit. Like, it's so hard, especially this match. It's so hard to like try to be like, that spot right there, that spot right there. But I, as a woman, you don't see women like beating the shit out of men. And even though that woman didn't win her match, she still beat the shit out of that man. It is nice. You don't see that very often.
Right. So then we get another commercial break. Then we get Matanza comes. He's punching the wall. Kratos tries to make a match with him so he can get his title back. But Matanza refuses and says that he won Mysterio. So then we get our next match. Kito. I don't know how you say it. Gaia.
Wait.
Tell me. Kito.
Keep coming. I got to look at it. But I know how to say it because I paid attention.
Yes, I didn't get it phonetically. I was trying to listen to
he Matt said Stryker. It. Yeah, he said it like three times. Like he knew. Y'all don't know how to say it. Let me say it real slowly for you. Like he really did. What was yesterday? The 30th? Kito Kitty. Yeah, that's what it is.
But now.
Kito Kitty. Yes.
Now, this match was just absolutely violent.
Yes,
she came in hot because he had already wrestled. So, he was Pentagon Dark, was, fatigued because he wrestled two matches. She came in on fire.
Took full advantage. Yes, she did.
She was throwing them all up in the chairs and banging them off the railings and everything around the ring and off the announce table and hitting them with chairs. And
yes.
Yeah. And then beautiful. Pentagon Dark, excuse me, got on the offense. And man, it was ugly. I think Pentagon Jr. might like to eat the booty like groceries. You see the one part where you hit her on the ass with the chair and then lick the chair? Yeah.
Damn.
He took the cables from like the cameras and basically choked her out around the ring post. I mean, this match was crazy. Just the sheer amount of violence. But our girl actually counters the package pile driver and hits the Far East Destroyer and wins and beats Pentagon Jr.
Bless.
Pentagon Dark, excuse me.
Bless. And also of note, Miss Hito Kitty is the first woman in the temple to jump off.
Oh, yeah. She jumped off the she jumped off the office.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
Ooh, that's lit.
Yes. Black Lotus Triad, definitely, they basically became superstars in like 1 hour.
Thugged out.
All three of them.
Had the temple on a shoulders. Like, I got it.
So whichever one was the best winner out of all of them?
The last one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know which one's which. I do know the Doku.
Long hair.
But the best one out of them has to be Io Shirai, because she's like that company's like John Cena or whatever, or The Rock or whatever.
But you have to, yeah, so you have to watch them so you'll be able to use their correct Lucha Underground name, sir.
I didn't watch it.
Well, yeah, sorry, you should have.
What we're watching, hashtag,
you
sir,
know it's
readily
on that
available.
Hashtag.
I have limited time. Throughout
you
the
don't.
Week.
You don't.
So after their match,
on the interwebs,
Black Lotus was supposed to get her match because it's a gauntlet match, so he has to wrestle all four of them. Well, Black Lotus doesn't wait for the match to even start because, of course, now Pentagon has been basically knocked out by this Far East Destroyer. She attacks the referee, knocks him out of the ring, and then she kicks Pentagon around a little bit, and then she does the unthinkable. She breaks Pentagon Dark's arm, and they're kind of standing around, and they're kind of gloating and looking over him. And then Dragon Azteca Jr. shows up. He comes down to the ring. Black Lotus Triad, they kind of slink out of the ring real slow, back out. And it leaves Dragon Azteca Jr. alone with Pentagon. He steps on the bad arm that Black Lotus just broke. He grabs the good arm, and he breaks that one, too.
Well, damn. He ain't got no arms.
Yes. So now we just got Dragon Azteca says that this will be his vengeance, and before he breaks his arm. So now we've got Pentagon Dark laying in the ring basically with both of his arms broken, a broken man. And Vampiro is still spitting this like Yoda-like wisdom once it all comes down. So then before the show goes off, they show Prince Puma in some kind of like cathedral. And then they show the white-faced Vampiro and he tells Puma to follow him.
I thought that's who that was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. So DD, sum up this excellent show of Lucha Underground.
Black Lotus Triad is all you need in wrestling. That's it. They are like, I don't even know how to explain it. They just came in like the thugs that they were. And it's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to see them fuck everybody up.
Yeah, they did a great job of introducing them. Like last week, they just popped up during the Ultimate Lucha match.
Yeah, they sure did.
But this week, they did a fantastic job, and not even through them having an interview or anything, just the wrestling, the matches.
The skill set got them over.
Right, and they're definitely big time over. So, yeah, definitely catch this. I mean, if y'all haven't been keeping up with Lucha Underground, definitely single out this episode. It's underneath what we were watching, hashtag. It's called Broken Bones, if you go by the titles. So it is definitely worth the 45 minutes of a show that this was this week. So, and now we get to play everybody's favorite game. Who you got? As we have yet again another pay-per-view event this Sunday. But first, on Saturday, in honor of TLC, we're going to bring back the Retrocast. As this Saturday night at 9 p.m., we're going to watch Hardcore Heaven 99. Hmm. So use the hashtag Retrocast if you want to join us in live tweet Hardcore Heaven featuring RVD versus Jerry Lynn for the TV title.
Ooh.
Featuring two title defenses of the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
Ooh.
So
I'm taking bets right now. I'm taking bets right now on who wins.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, come out this Saturday night, 9 p.m., hashtag Retrocast, and live tweet Hardcore Heaven 99 with us off the WWE Network. Should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to get into this week's card, TLC, this Sunday, hashtag TLC Matters, because this is a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So during the live tweet, use the hashtag TLC Matters to share your thoughts and commentary with color with the hosts and fans of the WrestleCast.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Slater and Rhino.
I will not be able to live tweet with you guys.
Because
I will be at the show.
Yay!
Yay! You will be our live correspondent.
Yeah, up in the cheap seats with Bob Uecker.
Hey, man, it doesn't matter where you are as long as you're in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're going to have Heath Slater, Rhino, Beauty and the Man Beast versus Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton for the tag team titles. So, DeeDee, what do you got?
I take the ethnic team of Bray and Orton.
All right. Sam, who do you have?
I don't know. I think Rhino and Slater have already run their course. And, of course, Bray needs all the pay-per-view wins he can get. So I'm also going to go with that team.
All right. Wyatt family as well. And I'm going to make it a clean sweep because I said last week, of course, I was going for Bray when you asked me this question last week.
Mm-hmm.
Our next match, Kalisto versus Baron Corbin. Chairs match. Sam, who you got?
I'm going to go with Baron Corbin.
DB, who you got?
Wait, you said this is a chairs match?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll go with Kalisto.
And I'm going to go with Kalisto as well.
Yeah. And Sam said Corbin. Okay.
Yeah,
Next, we have Miz versus Dolph Ziggler in an IC title match. I think it's going to be a ladder match, actually. An IC title ladder match.
Miz, all the way.
Sam says Miz. DeeDee,
I have to stick with what I told you all before, and that means I never picked the Miz. So I have to go with Ziggles.
All right. Gross. I'm going to go with Miz as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next, in the no disqualification match, we had Nikki Bella versus Carmella. DeeDee, who you got?
You're moving too fast. I have to write my own notes. Okay.
Yeah, Carmella. Yeah, keep up with me. I'm writing and conducting.
Okay, okay. You said it's no DQ?
No DQ.
Carmella.
All right. Carmella.
Yeah, also, yeah, like, since there's no DQ, you know Carmella's going to pull out, like, shenanigans. So, yeah, Carmella.
Nikki Bella has been on the wrong end of so many ass whoopings. I'm going to go with Nikki Bella this time.
Next. What if like Nanny interferes and reveals that she was the one who took her out? Could happen.
Could happen. Okay. Next we have Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss in a tables match for the women's title. Sam, who you got?
Becky Lynch.
You have Becky? What?
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah. Becky Balboa.
DD?
Oh, yeah, that's all pending on. It's pending on if she finds her way to the arena. I mean.
I got Becky too. We already know who you have. Donald.
Three foot tall girl.
He likes them short. Man, with pigtails on.
Put some respect on Alexa Bliss's name. Resting Bliss Face. Hashtag Bliss Cakes.
Not Bliss Cakes.
That's all you, homie. That's all you.
No, actually, I hope she wins so that Naomi can finally get a shot. So sure, but I'm still going with Becky though.
All right. And then our main event, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose in a table ladders chairs match for the world title. Edie, what you got?
You know I got AJ. You already know.
Sam?
I also got AJ. Dean doesn't need to be anywhere near that belt anymore. He needs to find a way to warm himself back to Raw so he can rejoin the Shield.
And I have AJ as well.
What? That means they ain't going to win.
Yeah, right? Because it happened last time. Last time we all went with one dude.
It was like, psych.
We all went with Sasha, and Charlotte won.
I really don't like how they keep making Sasha win on Raw. Like, why can't she win on the big Sunday stage? That's not fair.
But more people see her on Raw, though.
I don't care. I want her in the books on a good Sunday show.
Wait until after WrestleMania.
If she loses the title at WrestleMania, my feelings are going to be hurt.
No, I'm talking about like, because, you know, Charlotte's
pregnant?
Speak is going away, so.
Sorry.
I hope they don't make them have a rematch at fucking Roadblock. Now, that would suck.
No, it's over. They need to start from the beginning and find new people. I'm so sick of all these, you know.
Naya versus Sasha for now.
No, it's going to be Bayley and Sasha, and Sasha going to heel turn.
I'm okay with that. I am A-okay with that. So
we get like a three-way.
That could be the WrestleMania match. You never know.
So looking at who you got in two matches, we have all picked the same people.
Yeah,
so
the
really,
first match and the last match.
Yeah. So realistically, we only have four matches to get this win out.
And it's going to be interesting because there's like, the Corbin match, me and you pick Kalisto.
Mm-hmm.
On the Miz match, me and Sam pick Miz. So it's all going to come down to the Carmella Nikki Bella match.
I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep during the Corbin match because he's boring and puts me to sleep. So
Kalisto's not though. Have faith.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. The chairs involved should be pretty good. I expect to see Baron Corbin wear his ass out.
Pause.
That's a good one.
That is
funny. A lot of talk on the internet about, you know, ass getting wore out. Hashtag insecure. Do you watch that, DD?
I don't. I've heard amazing things about it, though.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. If you get a chance at some point, you have 4 hours to kill on a Sunday. It's a real easy watch. 8 episodes, 30 minutes each.
Yeah. I've heard great things. I don't have HBO anymore, and then it's like I gotta find somebody with HBO and blah blah blah.
That's all you had to say, friend.
She has to find.
I don't care that much.
No. We'll talk after the show.
Okay, friend.
There's always hookups and workarounds.
I know. I wasn't that interested anyhow.
No, well, you never know. HBO always got something good going on. You never know when you just be like, oh. People are talking about this. I can watch this.
Yeah, I finally got around to seeing Atlanta before finishing it.
Oh, great show.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, yes.
I enjoyed it thusly.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy Insecure, too.
Well, see, I already seen, so I've already seen all her other show. I mean, I'll watch it eventually, but I'm good for now.
Okay. Yeah, 2016 has been a trash year in general, but it's been a really great year for black television.
Mm-hmm. Is her little Asian friend on this show, too?
Say what now?
Your little Asian friend on this show, too?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I love her. She's awesome.
Oh, you love the Asian girls. Mm-hmm.
I love her. She's awesome. She's cool. Her little awkward buddy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, check out some TV over these holidays. Atlanta, Queen Sugar, Insecure, if you guys haven't, Luke Cage. You know, during this holidays, people are going to have some time off of work.
All the ethnic shows.
Yeah, weather may be kind of bad in some areas. So, you'll have some free time. Dude,
when he went through that building and just, like, you know, roughing up everybody, they were playing Protect Your Neck.
Yes. So,
was it yes. Protect Your Neck?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was dope. I was here for that.
And all the episodes are Gangstar songs.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. Mm-hmm. And then when I mentioned it, somebody's like, oh, you're late. I'm like, well, I don't pay attention.
He's got so many other things going on in his life.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Another time. Employment.
So that's all I got, man. The finals of the tag league in New Japan will be, I think, the same day.
Final battle is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the same day that TLC is. So I think it's Sunday, but I'm not sure. Maybe the next week.
Friday.
Yeah. Final battle is, yeah.
New Japan, yeah.
What's the main event for Final Battle?
I'm about to look right now. I think it's Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, I think. I don't know.
Oh, that would be a good one.
Let me see. Final Battle 16. Let's see here. Okay, 12-2. Oh, actually, is it tonight? No, it's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night from the Manhattan Center. Let's see. Yeah, ROH World Championship, Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. Could be a good match. Dragon Lee versus Bobby Fish versus Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll for the TV title. Jay, the Briscoe brothers against the Bucks of Young for the tag titles. The ROH six-man tag team championship tournament finals are Leo Rush, Jay White, and Kushida against the Kingdom, Matt Taven, Vidi, and TK Orion. Leo Rush is really good. Like, that dude, he's about the size of Mascarita Sagrada, but he's really good.
Yeah, I heard that.
You're probably going to be hearing a lot about him in the coming months. Mm-hmm. Cody, some guy named Cody against Jay Lethal. Jason Thunder Liger against Silas Young, that's going to be a good match. Colt Cabana versus Dalton Kessel with the boys. With the heel turn recently. The Motor City Machine Guns and Donovan Dijak, who's also good, against the Rebellion. Caprice Coleman, I don't know why he's still wrestling. Brett Titus and Kenny King. And the pre-show that we always say no to is a Lucha match, the Tempura Boys Show and Yo. It's Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara. So, yay. I'm debating buying this. I should. It's gonna be on an actual pay-per-view, I think.
Okay, for ROH.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, they've been doing that lately. Like, well, the last few times, see, I bought their pay-per-views twice on TV, and both times they had horrible audio difficulties, and I don't think I can live like that. But we'll see this time if they stepped it up or not.
Young Bucks versus the Briscoes should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I want Red Dragon to come to WWE. I love Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly was my condiment table pal. I told this story before, right? Yeah. We shared a condiment table one night.
I know they got a bunch of contracts coming up, like Jay Lethal, Young Bucks. Yeah, like
they make the mistake of having their contracts all end at the same time.
Right. So who do you think? You think WWE, NXT can get the Young Bucks this time?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. It depends on, like, if the moon is, like, you know, in a certain light and, you know, something happens or whatever. Some stroke of genius, some stroke of luck. Because I know they don't, they make more money now than they would in NXT. And then NXT, right. Who knows how long they would stay there.
Yeah, they would probably want to be main roster from right off the break.
And I think they've earned that, you know. Who knows?
What about Jay Lee?
I want to see at least once in this lifetime. The Hardys against the Bucks. At one, just one time. Just give it to me once.
What about Jay Lethal?
That'd be so weird for the Hardys to, like, look across the ring and see themselves 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal. Yeah, I really like Jay Lethal, but I don't think they're going to sign him.
Do you think?
I really want him in WWE though.
Do you think he can make it in WWE? Think he can get over?
I think so. I mean, well, he's not getting over in Japan. That's just because they don't know who he is.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe if he works with NXT, you know, because like the NXT audience, that Full Sail audience, they're a hardcore group, so they'll know off the bat who he is. So he'll get over there, and then eventually when he gets up to the main roster, people will be aware of who he is, hopefully.
What about Adam Cole? I know he's about to be
in March. You know, WWE salivates, like they're drooling to get them some Adam Cole. They want him so bad.
All right. So, yeah, those are the three that I've been hearing the most about.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I was just trolling, you know, what's it called, Instagram, and I realized Dawn's original bae, All Red Everything herself, has black hair.
Yeah. We've talked about this.
No, we haven't. What you did is none of my business, but we have not.
But my original, or my OG bae, Cameron, yes. she's in People. She got interviewed for their
doing fitness. What?
She's a what now?
She got interviewed in People magazine for like her fitness lifestyle.
But who did they say she was? Was she just
WWE performer?
Oh, like was she just like
Aria on the street?
Oh, interesting.
No.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she's looking so fine.
Well, I'm so happy for her. I really like this Eva character with her black hair.
Did she?
She looks she more ethnic this way.
Did she ever get back together with Gru?
I don't know. That wasn't a part of the interview, sir. This was like a real, actual magazine interview, like a dirt sheet interview.
Hey, curious parties. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, your babe is so pretty. Yeah, the red hair does nothing for her. Eva.
Oh, yeah. Eva, yeah. I can't wait for it to come back.
So what'd you say the girl's name was? Cameron?
It's Aria Andrews, though, if you're looking for her on Instagram.
Arion, A-R-I.
That's a little too close to Arian. So I'm not...
Right.
Why is she not popping up?
Let me help you out here.
But she was talking about like they went.
No,
on
they keep wanting to say Ariana. I don't appreciate this. It's not what I said. Let me see.
Still no luck?
No. Oh, I found her. I put in Cameron. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
What you think?
Her face looks weird. Her abs are everything though. Let me see. Oh, no, she's really pretty. She's like, she's a little too ethnically pretty. I'm not shocked that she doesn't work for the WWE.
Oh.
She's like real black, you know, like Naomi. You can only have like one of them.
You only have one.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Why her siblings look Asian?
Is she Asian? No, I think her, her stepmom is white, I think, or Asian or something. I don't know about her actual family. I know her dad's black.
Interesting.
They showed her family one time, but I think that's her stepmom.
Oh, no, she's really pretty. What would she do with herself?
Tummy tea, waist shapers.
Why is she around Shelton Benjamin? What's Shelton Benjamin? Is he healthy yet?
No, he said like 6 more months.
Jeez.
4 to 6 more months.
Oh, that sucks.
So, yeah, we'll just wait till Vince McMahon finds out about Sasha Banks' ethnicity.
I told you, they don't know. Like, he probably thinks she's white.
He's Latina at best.
Yeah, there you go, because her mom's Latina.
Oh, is she?
Mm-hmm.
There's some German in her family somewhere, I've read.
Mm-mm, Cameron got her titties out hanging with these little children. That is inappropriate.
Whoa, now?
I'll show it to you. Nasty. No, it's cute, but it's still like, that's a lot of titty. We acting like we are done recording. Can we be professional?
Oh, I completely forgot.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I'm here messing with you.
Mm-hmm. Always playing the black girl.
All right, so. Hey. Okay, so is there anything else?
No.
You got some New Japan to talk about? Not you.
No, not really. Nothing exciting standing out. It's just because it's the tag league. So it's just a bunch of matches.
Oh, yeah, you were going to mention the crucifixion of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah, that was that happened on this exact date in 1998. Yeah,
I remember that. Did you see it on TV when it happened?
Sure did.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Sure was.
Didi, what were you doing in December of 1998?
I don't know. Why?
It's just, I mean, it's the date that this happened.
What happened?
Oh, God.
I heard you say Stone Cold, but I didn't hear what. What about him?
When the Undertaker put Stone Cold on the crucifix and crucified him.
I think I was watching. That sounds familiar. Oh, no, maybe that was Stephanie that I'm thinking of. I don't know.
Well, they did it to Stephanie, too.
No, I definitely remember Stephanie. She's like, no!
That was the first episode of SmackDown.
Yeah, I've been SmackDown matters from the beginning. Okay.
The premiere episode. It was like, they were still on the Raw set.
I ain't new to this. SmackDown. I'm true to this. Yeah, I don't know.
I was in high school. Where was I working at the time?
You were working?
Oh,
yeah. You are old as hell.
I was 18.
You're old. Oh, no, I guess that makes sense. I was 13. Okay.
Damn. Now, I was working at one of those. One of those fancy schmancy members only clubs, or whatever private club.
What kind of private club let you in?
Did you see this one?
I was working, and I didn't see I was in it.
Oh.
Did you see this one? The camera with the white shirt.
The white shirt. No, I stopped looking. I saw the titties, and I was like, "That's too much." And then I stopped.
What are you talking about? I don't see anything. Yes, that's shade.
It's just a lot of cleavage. It's fine. It's just. And then the little baby. She's like head level with it. It's just like.
If the boy ain't complaining, I'm telling you.
I'm not worried about the boy. I'm worried about the little girl.
Yeah, she's like right level with her right tip. Yeah.
It's like right there. It's right
is
there.
Anyway,
we're still recording. Jeez. One day we'll be professional.
I'm looking at the screenshot. Charge your phone.
My phone's at 100%, so.
Yo, you use Sprint. Really gross.
Oh, do you want to pay to switch it to Verizon? Oh, okay. Just checking.
If you switch to Cricket, you pay.
Excuse me? Excuse me.
Hey, you pay a lot.
Why is he trying it?
All day. A little sour ass. Do we have shout outs?
I used to for Cricket this way.
Okay, my shout outs are Don, because he bought me a Bootio shirt because he made sure I wasn't booty.
You wanted to make sure you weren't booty. Yeah.
It's lit. Also, I'm having a Caucasian Christmas party, so if I know you, you can come. That's to all the listeners.
The Caucasian Christmas party entails.
Oh, it just entails a picture of Joanne the scammer being on my door telling you to get out of my Caucasian house. That's all. And there will be, you know, Caucasian cocktails, you know, right. Chicken, because, you know, you people are ethnic.
Unseasoned chicken.
No. I'm not that dedicated to the lie. Hold on.
Okay.
No.
Cool. Will there be ugly sweaters abound?
If that's what they're into, I'm not wearing one, but they can feel free.
Okay.
I plan on wearing white, you know, Caucasian. You get it. So, yeah. So we'll just have to see. But yeah, if you want to come, let me know. It's real small. It's intimate. Not intimate, but, you know, intimate, small. Yeah. But that's it.
So you're having a key party, huh? Okay.
I don't know why you keep trying it.
It's an intimate.
Donald, do you have any shout outs?
I just want to shout out RetroCast this Saturday night. Also want to shout out hashtag TLC Matters this Sunday night. And I also want to have everybody be on the lookout. The L Dandies will be being up on our, probably we'll do our voting through Twitter this time since I let you have it for a week through polls. So I'll get to working on the nominees and different categories. And I'll make an announcement, so we'll have a week of voting for our L Dandies. So if you guys have a match of the year that you want me to include, send it to either my Twitter account, at Don Delarente, or at the WrestleCast Twitter account, at the WrestleCast. And I'm going to look out so you guys can vote for the L Dandies. But we'll see you for our hashtags this Saturday and Sunday.
And make sure you wear a suit or a nice tux or a nice dress to the L Dandy Awards, as usual.
And who are you to Don L Dandy?
Can't have you going in there with a tuxedo t-shirt. That don't work this time.
I'll be just like Brother Love. Thank you very much.
Have my send out robe. All right. So, let's see here. Okay, so those are your shout outs right there.
I'd like to give one more shout out. I'd like to give one more shout out to the World Traveler, our Glowcast co-host. None other than Miss Jade to the Max. She's in Israel and she's doing Instagram
her thing.
In Israel. So
yeah, I saw that.
Happy travels and safe returns to her. And we're thinking about it. So when you hear this, what's up, Jade?
Hey, boo. So I'd like to give a shout out to the show Three Black Geeks out there doing their thing. Shout out to Amber Moon, because she's awesome. See, shout out to Dee Dee, of course, because she's awesome too. Sometimes, and don't give me that.
I heard you say sometimes. Classic. I heard you.
Classic. Well, everybody, it's my turn. Stop talking.
Oh, but you talked all over Don's turn though. Oh. Okay.
Let's see here. Let's see who else gonna shout out? Shout out to what's your name?
Oh, you know.
On Twitter. Shout out to Reese PC. Well, even though I'm sure she doesn't listen.
I'll tell her too, just so you can get you another boo thing.
Yeah, I need my stable is growing.
And I can tell your girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
Stop that. It's the shout out to a three foot tall Alexa Bliss. Shout out to Nerdy Patty on Twitter, and shout out to who else am I shouting out here? All of the members of the Glow. There's too many of y'all to mention. And I guess that's it. We will see you next week, and hopefully we'll see what happens with the TLC and the final battle and the whatever. So we'll holler at you next week, and thanks for listening.
Sure. Treating me like Jerry, the case, and I don't need it, Mick. That's why I'm doing it. I don't need it.
Mick, this is the second time in 2 weeks that you've stopped the action between Braun Strowman and Sami Zayn.
It's not action, Byron. It's a freaking massacre when Braun Strowman is in there. You got a guy like Sami Zayn, he's never going to quit. He's never going to quit, and in doing so, he risks doing some serious damage to himself sometimes in life. And in WWE, you have people who need to be saved from themselves. And that's the case with... Yeah, that's right, Sammy, that's right.
Guess what, Mick? I don't need to be saved from myself. If anything, I need to be saved from you. I need to be saved from a general manager who's clearly taking his orders from above and seems to have forgotten who he is and where he's from.
I made the match! Stephanie does not like you! You said you were bringing home the IC Championship, and you did not! And Stephanie wanted you fired! So I made the match! That was your punishment! But you weren't being punished last Monday, you were being destroyed! So I stepped in, yes! I stepped in to save you from yourself because that's a matchup you cannot win. You will never win.
He
will
How many times
you.
Have people told you, Mick, that you couldn't do it? Huh? How dare you? How dare you, Mick? You are my hero. You're a hero to all these people. But right now, I don't think I'm looking at a hero. Right now, I'm looking at a guy who's in my way. I'm looking at a guy who's taking away opportunities that he once had for himself. As far as I'm concerned, Mick, I'm looking at nothing more than a hypocrite.